If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I'm prepared in case my co-host Jessica Lewis shows up with a machete. In fact, I'm really prepared. I'm
listen
so prepared. I am prepared for anything.
I wish I'd known. All I have is a pen and some Carmex. So I don't think I'm going to do very well if there's a showdown or anything over here.
All right. Well, I was ready for anything. If all you have is a pen, I probably only need the little.
I don't think you need any of those,
just,
to be
just the little
honest.
One. Just the little.
I also do have a magic eight ball. So I have that too.
Well, then we need this.
Oh, my goodness. It's a whole lot of hammers. Why do you have so many hammers?
I have no idea. I mean, it's, you know, a well-known saying goes that to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I have five hammers of different types, so that makes the situation that much more complex.
Okay.
Which is perfect. Yes, it's perfect for this point because, contrary to the last couple weeks, we have a more complicated situation to discuss with the vote against Jim.
But I have a theory.
Oh, I have a theory, too. But we have a process in place to hammer out exactly this type of situation. Don't do that with hammers or you'll break the drum.
No, that would not be a good idea.
We will compare her game to my rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since, using all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, and secret scenes. Mm-hmm. And the newest version of the rules can, of course, be found by going to our dedicated page at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed and clicking on the link bubble for the Survivor rules. And it just occurred to me, I'm now going to have to do this whole podcast with five hammers right next to me here. Not
see,
knock them down
happens.
Or, yeah, hit myself.
Don't drop
with
them on your feet. That's
yes,
going to hurt.
Yes. You'll know. Trust me. You'll know. Mm-hmm. But before we address how Jem did in terms of the rules, we always have some other things to discuss from the episode. And I want to start by saying I was glad to see the Survivor Trivia Challenge on the journey. And even happier that they got to choose whether or not to do it, because we discussed that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I will admit, as I did on Twitter, you know, Twitter was filled with people saying, I could have done that challenge. It was easy. And I was like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't think I could have.
I don't think I could have either. No.
Yeah. And some people may say, David, and apparently Jessica, how can you call yourself a super fan and not know the order of every season? We've discussed before that trivia of that type isn't my thing. And I didn't want to speak for you, but sounds like your thing either.
It's not my thing either.
Anyone who saw or heard us, I guess they weren't doing seeing at the time, who heard us on This Week in Survivor History a number of years ago knows trivia is not our thing.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. Now, I will say there are certain seasons that I would have had no issue at all.
Right, right.
But I feel like it's those kind of like, there's in the middle there,
yes.
It's like things get a little bit swampy and I'm like, I don't remember exactly the order of things in those middle, but very early on, I would have gotten all of those.
Right.
No problem. Because I think at that point when Survivor was so fresh and new, mm-hmm. I was so excited and so into it. And then like, I still was into it, but it's like, it got murky, you know?
Well,
it's
and
like,
it was
still a little murky.
It was a while ago.
True too.
I think, you know, I could give it a good shot and I get most of them right, but I just feel like I'd mess up a few because what I remember most about Seasons is the people and the strategies.
Yes.
So, but all that said, I still like using it as a challenge.
I do appreciate that that was a challenge. And I also appreciate the fact that there's a reminder of old school Survivor that still exists in this new era. Yes. So I really appreciate that component. But I will say the point that you made is incredibly valid about the choice being allowed, as opposed to you don't have a choice. This was a clear discussion. And I'm trying to remember if, what if two people had really decided they wanted to do it? Was there something in place?
There was a, I didn't go back to it, but there was a flash of the rules. And I believe that it said they would draw rocks.
Okay. Oh, great.
Which does lead me to wonder, if, presuming I saw that right, it leads me to wonder, did they just skip that part the week before? Like, did none of them really want to do it? Or, you know, and they ended up drawing rocks to end up there.
Oh, that's that. I want to know that answer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating, because that really does change things, because I do think it should be a choice. But also we can go back to the fact that it's not even really a choice, because someone else is choosing who's going. So there's that component, which I don't love. But yeah, that would definitely change things if last week it wasn't just a straight up rock draw.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, look at you.
Now, another thing that I want to address is a completely change of topic here, is Maria using her extra vote in what seemed to be an unnecessary way, because they already had enough to get out Jem.
Right.
And so there was, you know, some discussion of this on Twitter, and Maria said it was to get rid of the advantage that everybody knew she had before the merge. And
now, how was it everyone knew she had it?
Don't ask me questions like that. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I don't remember either.
Yeah. Yikes.
Okay. Our Survivor trivia is very bad today.
Yeah. We can't even remember the beginning of the season.
No, if, I'm
You know.
Did she just tell everyone? I mean, because I know that she didn't she get that from going on that she went on the journey?
Presumably, yeah.
Well, that's when she
and then,
is that when she got it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the only place that she could have gotten it. So, yes.
So I guess maybe she just told everyone.
Well, I think no, I think also there was it was a situation where the others knew about it. God, this is bad. We should not. We should move
okay,
on.
Okay, moving on. Anyone else who's listening who knows the answer, just let us know.
Sorry, that was like, you know, weeks ago. So it was just, I remember, you know, everybody knew about it. And that was the important thing.
Well, and I feel at this point we can kind of assume that everybody always knows about everything, because everybody tells everyone about everything except Jem, weirdly.
Yes.
So
now going back to the fact that she had this. It, you know, it does make sense. Why keep a possible target on yourself? And, you know, it also served as a little backup in case, although I'm not sure. I didn't run through all the possible permutations. I think Rob and Steven did somewhat. But, you know, the primary purpose anyway was just to burn it. Because we know from history that extra votes rarely help and often end up hurting. So I think it was perfectly reasonable to do that.
Yeah, it does make sense. And I think she was even more clear because of what she wrote down, a name that I believe she was the only one who called Jem that particular name as well. So it was even more apparent that that was her extra vote. I mean, I guess if you really want to be that clear, you could actually write extra vote on the bottom. Like, this is
my...
This is the extra vote in case anyone needed to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that does make sense. If she's not interested in having a target on her back come merge, but also then don't tell anyone about it. If you can avoid that, that would be great too, because then maybe you could have it after the merge and you wouldn't be in a situation where you have to use it. So you can take a target off your back. There's that whole thing too.
Yes. Yes. Although I do, oh God, we should stop talking about it before we get, you know, but if she had the option to not say anything, then yes.
I know if we knew that bit of information, this would make so much more sense.
Yes. Yes. You can't spring these questions on me, you know, about things that happened like four episodes.
I mean,
ago,
it's only a podcast about this season of Survivor.
I know.
Shucks. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I won't ask any more questions about it.
Well, you should have known too, Anne.
Listen, I know I should have, but that's why I asked you, because I was relying upon you to know the answer.
And people wonder why we're not going to be able to put, you know, trivia from previous seasons. Right. Yeah.
We can't even remember this season. Yeah. Sorry, listeners. We're terrible.
We'll about those little things. About those little things.
Gosh.
Now, of course, there were.
I'm sorry. I just had to bring up our trivia because I believe the question we lost on was what team was on somebody's hat? Okay, like that was the type of trivia question that we were asked.
And it wasn't Boston Rob. That would have been a lot.
Right. It was not Boston Rob, which would have been a much easier question. It was definitely not Boston Rob. So, anywho, moving on.
Now, there were other things going on, which, of course, I'll be putting and already have put some in my TikToks at David Bloomberg TV. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we move on?
No, I think we're okay, because now I'm just trying to remember things that I can't remember.
Listeners, viewers, we will have gone back and looked this up by the time this is published. So you don't need to tell us. We appreciate it, but we'll figure it out.
I think the most fun component that I would like to talk about is going to be about Jem. So we can just move on.
Well, the least fun component is that unfortunately we need to bring back the Jeff Probst is Wrong About Blank segment this week. Because he had his podcast. And it was raised the question of, hey, when are you going to stop taking away the players' flints?
I know.
And he said he would not. In fact, he wanted a bullhorn to yell it, saying, the new era is here. Earn everything. Penalties for losing. Expect more of that. This is what Survivor is about. If you want a fun experience, go find another show. This is Survivor. This is why people want it. Because there is a penalty for losing. Because you have to survive without Flint. So.
No.
Jeff,
I love you. You're amazing. Incredible. Thank you for the opportunity that you provided me. However. No.
So let me ask
you, Jessica. People want to play Survivor.
Yes. Is that why you went on Survivor? Because there was a penalty for losing? Because could be surviving without Flint?
No. I practiced with Flint before I went out there because I knew that it was going to be important. So it's something that every Survivor understands is a significant part of the game, period. Right. Absolutely. But the whole idea behind Survivor is the social experiment. Outwit, outplay, outlast, not outflint or out not lose your things. This is a game about people, right? And I understand that Jeff has this idea that if you take things away and you make people more uncomfortable, then it's going to be more difficult for them. But then what do you create? You create a group of individuals who can barely function, who continue to lose challenges, which is not fun for viewers to watch because they have no food, they have no energy, they haven't been able to actually survive in the barest elements and with the most minimal amount of things because you want to take their flint away. I understand that there is an idea behind it and a goal, but that goal is negatively affecting the player's ability to just play the game that we all have grown to love. And that is the social component and the fact that people need to survive, yes, but they also need to survive each other. And they need to be like, have the energy and ability to do that. And you're taking that away from them. And I don't agree with that. That's not why I think anyone wants to play this game. If you want a challenge like that, go on to Lost. Is that the name of the show? Alone. That's what it is. Go on Alone, and then you can try to actually survive. Go on Naked and Afraid. That's fine, but like, not here.
Go on the one
that's
where they send you to Alaska, where you.
That's Alone, where they like you're off on your. Yes.
Yeah.
That's not what this. Survivor is about surviving, but it's also about surviving the people, and not the lack of flint, which is the lack of food. Which is the lack of energy, everything.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, Jeff's like, well, this is what Survivor is about. No, not until you suddenly decided it a few years ago.
Right.
And, you know, what else is Survivor about? Oh, I don't know, voting. Oh, but he keeps taking votes away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also about competing. But like you said, it ends up making one team very bad at that. Very right. often.
You can't compete. And then when you can't compete, then you can't win immunity. And then you're constantly going to tribal council. And it's just, it's defeating the whole purpose mm-hmm. of the game. And you're eliminating an entire tribe because they literally haven't eaten in 10 days.
Right. Or slept.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. I remembered why she got the extra vote. Popped into my head. Or it popped up onto my screen. One of the two. And then why everybody knows. It was the three-card game with Jelinski and where Jelinski folded. Remember that she had...
Yeah, that's when she went on the journey.
Right, but that's why everybody knows. Because it was obvious who got the extra vote. That she and Tevin got extra votes and Jelinski lost his vote. All three of them.
But why was that obvious to everyone? Why was that obvious to everyone on her tribe? Without her telling everyone.
On her tribe, she shared it with everyone. But the thing is, everyone else on the other two tribes would have known anyway. She had to presume. Right. And so she wouldn't want to go into the merge with that. That was the
understood.
Point. Yeah.
Okay.
So
she told everyone in anticipation that they were all going to find out come merge anyway.
Well, or come next journey or something like that. Yeah.
Mm. These journeys need to stop too. Yeah. Just saying.
All right. Now. Before we move to the rules, I do have one more thing. Because, Jessica, do you know what season it is? Not Survivor season. What season on the calendar it is?
Wait. What are you talking about? On this, like, spring?
Just in general. Yeah. It's peep season.
Oh, gosh. That's right. You know, I need to send my mom peeps.
Yeah, you better hurry. Well, actually, I'd wait till Monday. Yes. When I brought these home from the store, you know, my wife, lots of reflection there. My wife said, but we don't celebrate Easter. And I said, yes, but I do celebrate peeps.
You do. And you eat lots of peeps. But you also like them stale, right?
Yeah, I like them anyway. But yes, the stale is good.
My mother prefers them stale, mm-hmm. which I think is fascinating. Now, we have discussed peeps, and I'm not trying to bore anyone with our peep discussions. I don't love peeps. I don't hate peeps. I choose not to eat them because it's just one of those things that I'm like, mm-hmm. I could go without a peep. But you do love the peeps.
I'm a peeple person.
My mom, she is as well. So.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, of course, go, you know, the Monday after Easter when they go on sale, that's when you get them.
Well, I was going to order her some and just like send them. If she's listening now, she'll know I was going to send her some peeps because she's not like she's next door. She's far away from me. So,
I'll give away the surprise, you know, that.
Yes, I am. Hi, Mom. I'm going to send you peeps.
Yeah.
She'll be very excited.
Yes. All right. Well, now, before we get to how Jem did, we do want to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form.
I owe someone a poster. I promise. I'm going to send it to you.
Go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. Scroll down to the poster. Click on it. Order it. And then Jessica will say on a podcast, I owe someone a poster. And it'll be you.
That's right. It'll happen.
And then you can keep scrolling and get a poster on a t-shirt or get a checklist on a t-shirt.
Yes, and get both.
And get one, get all, get everything.
Can I tell you a little funny story about the shipping of the posters? Just aside.
Sure.
So I went to send out two posters the other day and I went on my way to work. I stopped at the post office beforehand and I have to buy these boxes that I get from the post office, right? And they were having a problem with their like machine. It wasn't working. So I'm like, can I just write you a check? And they said, no. And I was like, okay. So I couldn't send out the posters that morning. Then I had to go back to the post office the next day. And I was like, this is just silliness. Like I need to just send these posters out. So I did send them out, but I just want to say the boxes, it's frustrating sometimes to get the boxes because sometimes they don't have them at the post office and they've bought me entire boxes of these boxes. So it's a whole thing. But the shipping department tries really hard to make sure that everyone gets their posters on time. And sometimes it's not my fault. So I apologize if they're a little bit delayed. I just wanted to share.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you can go to robhitswebsite.com/yxlustfeed.
Oh, and one more thing about the posters, since okay. I'm just thinking about this. If someone does buy a poster, mm-hmm. you will know if there was an issue with the boxes. If you receive a poster that is inclusive of not just tissue paper, but also a ribbon, that means there was no boxes because I had to go to the post office with the poster like rolled up and I have to tie it with a ribbon so it stays rolled up as opposed to I have boxes in my house and I can just roll them up in the tissue paper and put them immediately in the box. So for future purchases of the poster, anyone who receives a ribbon, now you will know why you get a ribbon. There's that too.
So what you're saying is free ribbons.
That's right.
For some people.
That's right. Yes. Right. You get a ribbon if there is no box. There's a ribbon.
All right. Well, the show suggested that Jem was voted out because she was too forceful when dealing with her tribe mates. Jem said in her interviews that it was actually because of sharing her personal story. Was it really either of these? Or could there be other reasons that the vote switched from what she thought was going to happen to blindsiding her instead? Time to figure out why Jem lost. The first and most important rule is to scheme and plot. And we know from both the show and Jem's interviews that she had what seemed to be a solid alliance and was strategizing with them on a regular basis, despite not going to tribal council for a week and a half. We know she was in the Charlie's Angels alliance, and she expanded on that in her interviews. For example, telling Mike Bloom, we made sure that every single day we're checking in with each other to see if we're still okay, like one-on-ones and as a group. And of course, checking in with your allies is specifically mentioned in this rule, so that was good to hear. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, Jem also said that she, Maria, and Tim had an alliance that they knew they weren't going to go with, they being she and Maria. Or I guess at this point we should say she knew she wasn't going to go with it because it looks like Maria did indeed, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
So Jem noted to Rob that the Charlie's Angels alliance even had a preset plan for what would happen if they lost the immunity challenge. They would have one-on-one conversations with the others, so it wasn't like she was just running around pushing last-minute discussions in the way it might have seemed on the show, which is why I'm bringing this up now instead of in the second rule, which, if we believed what we saw on TV, that would have been a violation of the second rule. But I really don't think it was.
Well, I feel like there was a really interesting combination of things happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily agree wholeheartedly like that is the reason why like that she was pushing too hard. However, I do feel like there was something happening with this tribe where she, I feel like, really wanted to play the game. And mm-hmm. I feel like there was a desire of other people to not necessarily want to play the game until they had to. And so I think there was a little bit of headbutting happening there where she wasn't finding a good balance. Like, I think someone like Maria wants to play the game, but I think Maria is doing a really good job. Or is it Mariah? Excuse me. Mariah, Mo, I have to remember that she seems to have found that balance better. And that I just feel like Jem probably came across as a little more excited and interested. And mm-hmm. that can be intimidating to someone like Ben, who I think is taking a much more like kind of laid back approach to the game. Like, we don't really need to play yet because we haven't lost yet. So we're fine. We don't need to worry about this. And Charlie is kind of falling into that same place.
Yeah.
So I think that there is some truth to that, that she was probably pushing a little bit more just because she was playing the game. And I think that the approach that the rest of the team was playing or the rest of the tribe was not in that same vein.
Yeah, I think Steven brought something like that up on Know It Alls where he said you have to run at the same speed as the rest of your tribe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, she once we get to rule two and another rule also, you know, we'll talk, definitely talk more about that. I just don't think it was what we were shown, because what we were shown right. was her like going to Tim and pressuring Tim and apparently going to Ben and pressuring Ben. And yeah. neither of those things actually happened in that way, as we'll discuss in
right.
a little while.
Right.
Now, in her pregame interview, Jem said she didn't want to be the person out front making the big moves, but rather in the background planting the seeds. And what she was doing with the Beware Advantage clue was, I mean, not the replanting of it, but the putting, you know, getting people to think it was Tim. That's what she was talking about, because she wasn't actively saying it must be Tim. She was saying things like Tim sure is putting in a lot of effort, and then letting others pick up on that and right. kind of take right. it from there. I'll have more thoughts on the idea of trying to frame Tim later, but let's just say the methodology was sound. The decision, maybe yeah. not. The methodology was sound.
Yes. And I think that Jem is the type of player that, again, we've seen this so many times where there's a plan in place when they mm-hmm. like, this is how I want to play the game. And I think Jem was really trying to do all of the things that she set out to do. Yes. She said, I want to do this. And this is what she did. I want to do this. And this is what she did. And I think that she is a perfect example of someone who probably needed to adjust. So she was playing at the same pace, mm-hmm. as you already suggested, as the rest of her tribe, because sometimes those best laid plans, you know, don't really get you where you want to go
yes.
if everyone else is not kind of following along. So I think that she was really kind of headstrong and this is how I want to play. And that's what she was doing, which is great. She had a strategy. She wanted mm-hmm. to do it. However, that strategy didn't meld with the people that she was playing with.
Yes. Speaking of strategies not melding, the strategy in the way that she proposed they split the votes because of the fake possibility that Tim might have an idol.
Right.
That was wrong too.
Yes.
You know, obviously it didn't really matter because she knew Tim didn't have an idol, but the other two didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she proposed that this idea to them,
right.
which one of them should have said something like, well, why are we doing it that way? But we can also apply this generally, because she talked about how two votes would go on. She then changed it in her interview, so it's a little confusing here because she talked about putting two votes on Tim and three votes on Ben, even
right.
though Tim was the one with the idol. And she changed it when she explained it in her interviews. And I don't know if it changed while they were still in Fiji or it changed in her mind after they left Fiji. But the point is, you only flush an idol if a person plays it, which means
right.
they need to know to play it.
Right.
That's why, if you're saying, I want to flush an idol, you put the larger number of votes on the person with the idol so that one of two things happens. They play the idol and it is flushed,
right.
or they don't play the idol and they are flushed.
Mm-hmm.
And putting more votes on the person who you don't think has the idol means that the person who does have the idol can just hold on to it.
Right. Now, who were they hoping was going to spill the beans?
I don't think they were hoping anyone was going to spill the beans.
So that's another part of the issue.
Yeah. That if Tim didn't know that he was going to be targeted, he's not going to play his idol.
Right. And I will say that splitting the votes makes sense if you are unsure if someone
right.
has an idol. So we're like, okay, we'll split the votes. And that way, regardless of what happens,
right.
one of those two people goes home. But if you really do truly believe that this half has the idol, then yes, you need to break up that split in a different fashion.
Yes.
And that person should probably have some inkling that they could be the one going home. Otherwise, it's for naught.
Yeah. And as I said, they may have corrected this out there and we just didn't see it. But
right.
the information we have is conflicting. And either way, this is something that keeps coming up on Survivor, various versions of Survivor. So I wanted to mention it. You know, come on, people. This is how you split the vote. People should
do
know
math.
This by now. Yeah, exactly.
But I will say, like, when I was out there and we were discussing our first vote, I was explaining a split vote to mm-hmm. people who were with me, and they weren't understanding why we needed to split the vote. And I was like, well, because like we have the numbers, and just in case something wonky happens, we want to make sure,
right,
it, God forbid someone has an idol. And it was like, there was like this light bulb moment, like, oh, you know, it's like, so I don't know if everyone is always cognizant of the numbers and,
I mean,
and how things,
I feel like these days they are.
And I don't disagree, you know. But I feel like sometimes when you're out there in the elements, and then you're like, oh wait, why would we do that? And it's like, yeah. Okay, well, there's six of us. Mm-hmm. So if all six of us do this, and then that person has an idol, that's going to be a problem.
Yes.
So we need to make sure that we think about that. And, but then also I will say that there seems to be a hesitancy sometimes for who is going to be the outlier and put someone else's name, because then sometimes you shine a light on yourself for a different reason. And
right.
So there's a lot of things that can come through a player's mind when they're trying to determine how to split the vote, but there has to be everyone on the same page and everyone understanding all the permutations of it in order for it to successfully work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now another thing, since you were just discussing how some people didn't, you know, quite get this concept, I think this is appropriate too, and I don't think this applies to Jem, but Jem is another player this season whose husband is the super fan.
Yes.
And introduced her to the show a few years ago. So once again, we have the question of how she binged it, whether she had enough time and other resources to truly absorb everything. This one is more difficult to evaluate, so I'm not going to take a stance either way. There was nothing that particularly jumped out at me in the same way it did for certain other people we discussed last week.
Right.
But I did want to mention it happened again, you know,
yeah,
the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing that I wanted to discuss in the first rule is that some people have suggested that Jem got too comfortable. And I guess it's possible, because things seemed to be going according to plan. But it also appears she did everything she needed to in terms of working with the people she believed were her allies. But one thing she was missing was a solid number one. You know, last season we joked about people having multiple number ones.
Right.
Jem has, as far as we could tell, no number one.
Right.
I was thinking about this, and then Survivor 43's James mentioned it to me as well. And by the way, spoiler alert for the end of the podcast, when we're going to announce that James will be on with us next week. But I was already chatting with him, as we somewhat frequently do. And, you know, he mentioned this too. And when he mentioned it, you know, I was already, like I said, I was already thinking about this, but it really put some more focus on it, because almost everyone else on the tribe has at least one person looking out for them.
Yeah.
You know, Jem thought she had three people, but that doesn't help when two of them turn. There wasn't anyone to alert her. And
right.
You know, that's a big reason she had absolutely no idea it was coming. They out-schemed her.
Yes. And I will say, too, that the idea of her being comfortable, I do feel like there's something to be said about a confidence that you can have mm-hmm. when you know you are in a better place, where you're like, you have some safety. And this is something that's come up on our podcast previously, that there's this idea of what an idol can make you feel like, mm-hmm. because you know that you are safe and you know that you don't have to worry, but that's only if you know to play it.
Right.
So there's a possibility, and I'm curious if she wasn't exuding some type of something, you know, maybe a little more confidence, or just something that made the other people around her question a little bit what was happening, because maybe she, you know, like I go back to the digging scene, right? When everyone's
right.
digging in the dirt and she's mm-hmm. not, and she's standing there kind of like suggesting that they move over a little bit, mm-hmm. like that seems a little bit suspicious to me. Like, you're not getting in there digging and looking and being as frustrated and annoyed as everybody else. Maybe they saw something in that.
I mean, I would like to think that she was smart enough that in their 3 days plus of digging that she got in there and did some too.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the confidence, the only problem that I have with that is she didn't have her idol until very late in the process.
Well, like, right. But also she wasn't going to have it until they lost.
Right.
So it's this whole weird, like, you know that you have that potential safety, but you have to lose first. And so there is a bit of a distraction there as well, mm-hmm. because you're not focused solely on the tribe and what's happening. You're also focusing on a very selfish component of the game that has been introduced to you that you want to spend time and energy on as well. So mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how much of an effect that might have had on how she was being perceived because of maybe how she was acting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. It's hard for us to judge from where we are. All right, we can move on to the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. This seemed to be, as we mentioned earlier, the primary reason for Jem's loss that was peddled to us on the show itself. And I do think the rule played a part, just not the part the show suggested. Because while it looked on the show like she was running around at the last minute trying to pressure Tim and Ben, like I mentioned earlier, and that caused them and others to realize something was up, Jem in her interview said the conversation with Tim happened days earlier, and mm-hmm. it wasn't anything particularly special. And the conversation with Ben happened because he approached her for a one-on-one discussion while she was trying to figure out where to dig for her idol, which is why she was carrying the machete. When I was watching it, and they were talking about the machete, I'm like, well, she's obviously carrying it because she's in the middle of one of her tasks, you know. So it wasn't like she came at Tim right away and she came at Ben with the machete. And, you know, so again, the way it was portrayed on the show, I feel like was misleading. And mm-hmm. you know, she told Mike Bloom she felt she was lying low and, you know, that because they were the vibe tribe, everybody knew, or at least thought they knew, what everyone else was doing.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the area where Jem thought she went wrong in regard to this rule was that she told everyone her backstory the night before tribal council. And this is what Jem said in an interview she thinks caused people to turn on her and vote her off. I have serious doubts. Basically, yeah. Basically, she said in interviews that she talked about her upbringing in a domestically abusive situation. She lost her sister 2 years ago to domestic abuse. She has two sisters who are still in domestically abusive relationships. And she was going to use the prize money to help get them free of those situations. I mean, you know, all of this together had her tribe mates emotional and crying, which understandable. I think, mm-hmm, you know, just hearing her talk about it, many of us felt the same way. But she thinks they also realized this was a big backstory and could be a winning story to tell at the end, though she said she had no plan to actually use it that way. She even talked about how she believes the others thought she would get together with others who have big backstories at the merge because some of those came out at Matt chats, so they didn't want to let her do that. I don't know about all this.
Well,
It's very difficult to judge without having been there or seeing literally any of it on screen or hearing from other players.
Right.
But it just doesn't seem like something that would cause them all to turn on her. This is really early in the game to say, I don't want to still be aligned with that person because she has a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the idea that the people with the big backstories are going to all get together, this all just seems like something that doesn't typically happen. I don't know where this is coming from. Like, is it a backstory shield? Is that why they're going to get together? I don't think. And let's face it, backstories don't win the game anymore. I mean,
no. And here's the thing. At this point, I feel like everyone who is on the show mm-hmm. has a backstory. There is, and this is why they're including the backstories as part right. of the, and I know everybody comes from something and everyone has yeah. experienced something in their life. So of course everyone has a backstory, mm-hmm. but this idea that somehow the backstory is going to be the make or break moment for someone and the winning thing that that person needs. I agree. I don't think that that's the survivor that exists anymore. I right. know that at the beginning, people were always very concerned if someone, mm-hmm. needed the money and right. then people are going to feel bad for them. That's not the case anymore. People don't do yeah. that anymore. It is more just about the game itself. And so, yeah, I don't think that it was this realization that she has this incredible backstory and that somehow that's going to become the moment. And also, if you want to save your backstory to try to win the game, you don't tell people on day 10.
And she said she wasn't planning to, and for whatever reason it came
but
out.
But I'm just saying, so like, if there was some concern that, oh, that's her mm-hmm. winning backstory, well, everyone's going to have heard it. So right. I feel like it would land differently if there was some plan yeah. in place that she was going to try to use it. So I agree. I don't think that was what caused any decision relative to why she was the chosen person to go home.
Yeah, it reminds me of people who thought that Jeremy won because his revelation that his wife was pregnant at Final Tribal Council.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that wasn't why he won. It just happened right. to come up. That was not at all why he won. But if you just watched the TV show, mm-hmm. you might have gotten that impression. And believe me, I remember some people had that impression. And so, again, it comes back to the whole binge watching thing, you know, and it's like, right. is that one reason she thought this? But I don't think it played a role. I don't think it would have played a role. And I don't think there's anything like a backstory shield where people with big backstories get together. I mm-hmm. just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think there is something related to overplaying that did play a big role, probably the main role. But seeing as it involves how she handled the idol, let's skip ahead to Rule 7. We'll merge okay. Rule 7 in at this point.
We're going out of order.
Yes. And it covers idols, advantages, and game mechanics. And as we know, of course, Jem found the Beware advantage and then replanted the clue, which Maria found. This led to a lot of fruitless, though not antless, digging for the tribe, or poopless, for that matter, as we found out.
Fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Carla.
Yeah. We mentioned earlier how she helped guide the idea that Tim was the one who did this. And this is where I think we have the problem. Now, I live tweeted during the episode that Jem was going to have to admit to the idol if they had to go to tribal council so Maria and Mariah wouldn't come up with overly complicated plans.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Well, we talked about the overly complicated plan in the first rule because she didn't tell anyone.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. Under normal circumstances, I, and probably you, would be applauding her sticking to her guns and not telling anyone.
Yes.
You know, as she even told Dalton Ross, my idol is my idol. It's on a need-to-know basis, and they don't need to know. Yes, we agree. Except, this is a different
case. When they need
case.
To know.
Yeah,
when
right.
they need to know.
Right. Right. She acknowledged, again, to Dalton, that maybe if she'd told Maria and Mariah about it, they would have kept her in the game. As long as she had told them before she replanted the clue and everyone spent all that time digging. And I agree. Once she sent everyone on a wild goose chase, it became much more difficult for her to admit it, which is why she shouldn't have sent everyone on a wild goose chase.
Yeah. Well, see, the wild goose chase seems fun because there is that. I know that we saw it happen previously with Carolyn when she had the red mm-hmm. X and people were like, ooh, what's going on? And it was, and that was a whole thing. But that wasn't a wild goose chase. That was something was there that existed previously. And then the
well,
red
and
X
it was also
added.
Getting someone to find a fake idol that she intended to do something with.
Right. But it's like the So something there was, it's very similar in that vein, mm-hmm. where you are having someone do something, but then you also do have to deal with the ramifications of that something. And in her case, it didn't, in Carolyn's case, it didn't negatively affect her.
Right.
But in this circumstance, it would have negatively affected Jem if people had found out, because they were clearly very annoyed by whoever had done this,
yes.
because they were sent on this wild goose chase and they dug for nothing. Whereas if they had found something, which was her other plan, which she right. was going to bury something, so then something would be found, it wouldn't feel like it was someone mm-hmm. just playing with their emotions and making them dig for 3 days in what we now know as poop. So I think there's a whole like slew of issues there, because on the surface, it sounds like a great idea. Like, aha, I will trick everyone. But then you have to say, oh, but wait, I just tricked everyone. And if yes. they find out, then they're going to be upset with me. So mm-hmm. there is definitely competing interests there. So you really need to weigh that out if you're going to do something like this.
Yeah. And the if they find out, well, at some point they probably are, because you have an idol.
Right. So they will find out. Yeah.
Yeah. Jem admitted to both Rob and Gordon Holmes that one main reason she did everything with the Beware Advantage replanting was because it was boring in camp. And this is what, you know, you had alluded to earlier. That is not a good reason to do something on Survivor. You know, I'm sorry, I understand, but no. You know, meanwhile, she told Mike Bloom she still stood by it because nobody knew she had the idol, so she, quote, pulled it off gracefully. This is where I would argue she didn't really pull it off, because she got voted out. I mean, mm-hmm. sure, they didn't know they'd voted her out with the idol, right. but I think that was part of the reason they did it, not her having the idol, but because of what she did with it. Because as I was saying in my tweet that I mentioned earlier, it looked to me like Jem caused Maria and Mariah to overthink the idea of Tim having an idol. This could have helped flip them to vote her instead, because it was safer for them.
Mm.
And more than that, by putting the idea in people's heads that Tim had the idol, it meant they had to split the vote, either on Ben or targeting Ben, depending on which we believe, as we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie clearly did not want to vote Ben out.
Right.
You know, Steven also brought this up on Know It Alls and on Twitter after my tweet, I'll point out, which was a little annoying to me because I wanted to bring it up first. But hey, at least.
Gosh darn it.
That's Steven, I tell you. But, you know, remember, I think it was a couple episodes ago, I said, when Steven and I disagree, I'm right. When Steven and I agree, you know we're right.
David, I guess you're right.
Yes. Now, I also liked what Rob had to say on Know It Alls about how Jem making these big moves was kind of her main storyline on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But they also led to the reason she was voted out. And maybe that's why they didn't show it that way. They wanted to show this as a fun thing that she did rather than a thing that she did that led to her being voted out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that that goes back to that idea of the, she was not playing at the same pace as everyone right. else in her tribe was playing. And so that in and of itself can become an issue. And I think that that's exactly what we saw happening here, was that everything she thought that she was doing that was in line with how she wanted mm-hmm. to play the game sounded great on paper. It sounded mm-hmm. great in her mind. But when you actually have to play it in the game itself, in real life, and it's existing in all of the things that exist as part of the game, it can certainly change, and you need to be able to change with it.
Yes, yes. Now, the other question in this rule is whether Jem should have just played her idol. And what we normally say is if you have any hint of suspicion that you might be the target, you should play it. Mm-hmm. But Jem was truly blindsided and had right. no idea. However, there is also the issue that this was the first time Sega went to tribal council, so nobody truly knew where the lines were drawn. And right. Jem told Dalton that she had written notes for herself before the game, one of which was saying in the first tribal council, quote, if you have an idol, play it, because you never know where the alliance stands. She didn't listen to her own advice because she was certain about that alliance. And she also didn't want to have to come clean about replanting it and causing them to dig for 3 days. As she said, they would just vote me out next tribal. And since nobody knew that I had the idol and nobody could ever think that I was the one doing this, I was like, let's not do that. All of that makes sense. But it goes back to the same common denominator with other things we've been discussing so far, that she shouldn't have replanted the Beware Advantage clue.
Yeah. Yeah, because she really did create a whole world that didn't need to exist. She could have just had an idol that nobody knew she had. And then everyone could have just gone on their merry way playing the not so crazy game that she wanted everybody to play.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we can move into the third rule, which tells players to be flexible. I think you had just mentioned something about flexibility. So how do you think Jem did here?
I don't think she was flexible because I do think that she got very locked into how she wanted to play this game. She was very proud of herself in her exit interviews in kind of reiterating that. Like, these were all of the things that I wanted to do playing this game. And I did all of the things that I wanted to do to play this game. But look what happened. She was the first one voted out of her tribe. So that's where you need to find that balance and you need to be able to shift and move. Yes, go into it with a plan. This is what I want to do. But then you need to take into account everything that's around you and everyone who is around you and how are they playing. And looking at the people that she's playing the game with, there's a lot of people who are being very laid back and they aren't playing a Tony game like she wanted to play. Yes. They're not trying to create chaos. And so I think that that's something she failed to recognize and did not adjust accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we discussed how Jem had both the alliance she believed was real, which Charlie's Angels, and also a separate, allegedly fake alliance with Tim and Maria. Beyond that, I agree with you. She even beyond what you said, she discussed in interviews how she wanted to essentially lock in with a solid group to the end and fight it out at that point.
Yeah,
that is not an ideal strategy. Now, she didn't have a chance to follow up on it, so we can't really evaluate it. Maybe she would have changed her mind. Who knows? It was just a plan. But even just her talking about that is like, not flexible.
Right. Yeah.
So the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. While Maria practically quoted this rule at Tribal Council, we didn't hear a whole lot from Jem herself on it. It didn't look like she had particularly strong personal relationships with either Tim or Ben, so I don't think it came into play either way. Did you see anything I didn't?
No, I don't. I didn't see that she struggled with this at all. I do think that she was very, I think that she took into consideration who she was speaking to. And I do think that that was something that she was very cognizant of and aware of, but I don't think it had any negative effect on her game.
Okay. All right, then we can quickly move to the fifth rule, which reminds players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. Generally speaking, we didn't see anything indicating that Jem had any problems here. But going back to something I mentioned in the first rule, she also didn't have anyone she was very tight with. And while I was talking about it strategically then, it can also come down to social game. You know, Ben was close to Charlie. And well liked by all because what he did in terms of this rule, or more likely just who he is. Tim felt he was close to Maria because of both of them being parents, etc. But Jem didn't really seem to have anyone like that. In fact, she may have been the only person who was annoyed with Ben and even said she showed a little of it because she was sick of him just lying around after challenges and basically wanting to be waited on.
Yeah, and she was sick of Metallica, and she was sick of Taylor Swift. And but I do think that there is a lot to be said about having patience when you play Survivor, because the chances are very high that people who are chosen to play are going to have big personalities or certain things about themselves that will stand out. And she does have some people who are on this tribe that fit that build, you know, where they big personalities or things that they are very interested in sharing and having it be part of who they are. And that can definitely be trying, and it can be annoying and all of those things, but you do have to keep that in check, and mm-hmm. you do need to not allow that to be seen by others. As much as it might drive you crazy, you really just need to say, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to act out. I'm not going to say no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go along, go with the flow. So I do think that, yeah, there was some struggle here for her in that regard, because she was kind of set in her ways. And I think that that was something that probably shone through to people that she was playing the game with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. Now, in the second rule, we discussed Jem's hypothesis about why others considered her to be a threat, you know, relating to her telling her backstory. And I, you know, both of us said, no, that's not the answer. In which case, the question is whether there was anything else making her a threat. What do you think?
Well, I think that her situation is an interesting one, because I don't think that she was necessarily a threat per se, but I think that because of the permutations that this tribe found themselves mm-hmm. in, she might have been a threat to the permutations, you know, where everyone right. wants to have that other person that's their number one. And she's someone who is kind of vying for that spot. And so it really came down to a choice where we had Maria, I have to keep them straight. Maria and Charlie really had to decide where they were going to go. And so they needed to weigh for themselves what was going to be better long run in their game. And so it is an interesting place to have a player end up in, because it's like, is she a threat? Maybe not, but is she a threat to this duo mm-hmm. continuing to go forward in the manner in which they see their game playing out? And then yes, she could possibly be that threat. And so that's where the choice comes in. So it's interesting. I do not think that she was a threat in the way that she believes based upon right. her backstory. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was just a matter of numbers and permutations and the game mechanics that each player had determined for themselves, and what was going to be the better in the long haul, long run game for them, as opposed to what was going to be best for Jem. And Jem just didn't fit into that long game plan that they had.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another thing is that Jem said coming in that she wasn't going to be a provider because she worried that would make her seem like a threat. Now, in our preseason podcast, I was scratching my head about that one, and I still am. I don't know why that would have made her appear to be a threat, but I want to at least address it, because while she said she wouldn't do it, in interviews, she noted that, well, she got there, saw how the rest of her tribe was essentially clueless about living in the jungle. So she did become the provider.
Hmm.
Even so, I still don't think this caused her to be viewed as a threat. And she didn't even bring up that aspect in interviews. She did, however, note that she was a bit upset at them voting her out after she kept them fed. But she said she guesses that being a provider isn't that important in the new era. Yeah, she's right, except she didn't go far enough, because being a provider hasn't been important in a much, much longer time than that.
Like, yeah.
Like, I mean, this is another thing that takes us so far back that, you know, I have to wonder what seasons she was watching last, because
yeah.
she's talking about, you know, backstories being important and providing being important. And it's like, no, neither of those things are.
Yeah, I mean, having a provider on your tribe is fantastic. It's great. You definitely mm-hmm. want it, because it's an excellent thing to have. But it's one of those things that even without a provider, you're still going to figure out how to get along, and mm-hmm. you're going to figure out what you can do to try to survive. And so it becomes less significant. So I don't imagine that they looked at that and thought, oh, this is a threat because she's feeding us. I think they would be like, this is great. She's feeding us.
Yeah.
It would be a benefit. It wouldn't be something that they would look at and say, this is terrible. So I don't think that that had anything to do with it either.
Right. And also, they're not going to keep her because of that. You know, if she
right.
was a
pet, it's a great bonus to have
right.
for sure. Yeah.
Right. In conclusion to that rule, I can't think of anything in particular that made her stand out as a threat other than what you mentioned. So we could go to Appendix A, which is about the players keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, at this point, close to the merge, the tribe should be considering voting out people who will be strong threats going forward. But we just discussed how I don't think that fits the bill. Neither of us think that fits the bill for Jen. Mm-hmm. However, we have to remember that allies are the most important factor. And right. getting rid of one just before merge is a bad idea. So anyone who isn't a tight ally could be considered a weak link. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, related to what you mentioned and where the Ben and Charlie relationship became very important, as I thought it might. Charlie seemed happy to tell Maria that they were in the middle of the two alliances for all this time until they actually had to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then he faced the realization that she wanted him to go against Ben. Now, when I was originally considering how this would play out, if it came down to it, remember, I had predicted Tim would get voted out in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I thought, you know, they would look at the situation and Charlie would be like, well, I don't want to vote out Ben, so we can vote out Tim. But I did not consider the other factors, like the women wanting to split the vote and either make Ben the primary target or have the very real possibility in their minds, if Tim had an idol, of Ben ending up going. Now, we can't say for sure what happened because they didn't show it all. So we don't know if Charlie, you know, put his foot down, or Maria saw how much he really didn't want to vote against Ben and realized that she would run the risk of losing him if she pushed. But I think what really mattered was Charlie not wanting Ben to go. And the other complications made that a possibility.
Mm.
Not to mention how it seemed like the women discussed the vote and pretty much just told Charlie how to vote without really considering that he might have his own opinions from what he saw. Now, I know Jem said in interviews they all discuss things every day, but it sure seemed like he was being directed and wasn't happy about it.
Yes, I don't disagree. I do, and I think that there's a lot to be said about who is driving this final decision, and it really, I think, boils down to what is going to, like, rock the boat the less the amount, right? Like, who can we vote out that is not going to upset this person over here? Right. And if Charlie is really someone who you want to keep close to you and you want to keep voting with you, then you don't want to upset Charlie. Mm-hmm. And if keeping Ben is going to keep Charlie in your back pocket, well, now you've got Charlie and you might have Ben too. And then so that's two votes. And so you have to really start doing the math. And so I just feel like overall, there was a lot of that considered in this vote as to long game plans and and how we can get there and which of these six is going to upset people the least.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think if all this idol nonsense hadn't come out and the women had just approached Charlie to say, hey, let's vote out Tim, I really think that's what would have happened. It was adding in the split vote and the possibility of either targeting Ben or having him as a second option.
Right.
I think that's what pushed Charlie to say, whoa, hold on here.
Right. Sometimes the simplest plans are the best.
Yes.
Plans.
Yes. Now, Rob did also bring up on Know-It-Alls the possibility that Tim could have told Maria about the alliance he made with Q and Hunter on the journey and how he was going to bring her into it. Based on what we saw, I don't think that happened because it seemed like Maria was pushing to vote out a guy while Charlie was the one who stopped it. But again, it's hard to say. It could have been something that came later in the day. I don't know. I just think it was Charlie either being visibly uncomfortable enough for Maria to say, okay, if you don't want to do that, let's do something else. Or he just put his foot down.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, yeah. All right. Well, with that, it is about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts on Jem?
I feel like I need to sing the song Gem is Outrageous, because every time I hear her name, that's what pops into my brain. And I feel like it's fitting. Gem is outrageous. She came into Survivor and she really had a plan in place than how she wanted to play the game. And she wanted to emulate Tony. And we all know how Tony took the game and ran with it the first time he played, and played a game that no one had ever expected and created crazy, and it worked. But unfortunately, this is Survivor, and you can't always recreate something that worked once and people looked at and thought, how the hell did that work? And unfortunately for Gem, it just wasn't working. She was in a tribe of six, and this was a tribe that was not running around like Tony and not wanting to make crazy and wanting to kind of play the game when they needed to and take it easy until they lost. And she did not have that same mindset. And unfortunately, I think she tried to add some chaos in addition to playing the game that she wanted to play. So in her mind, she thought she was doing a great job with the game, and she had found an idol, and she was going to add some spice to the island by hiding the Beware advantage and doing all of these things that, as viewers, we think this is great. This is Survivor. We're watching someone play the game. But when you're actually out there playing the game, it can be to your detriment to try to cause chaos when chaos isn't necessary. She found herself in a good place. She had an alliance. She had a backup plan. She had people that she could have worked with. She didn't have that solid one that she needed, though. And unfortunately, the chaos she was creating, not having that solid one person with her, really put her in a position where she found herself on the outs. And when it came down to who was going to cause the least amount of a rift with the tribe in the vote out, it came down to Gem. And unfortunately, Gem went home. Gem is outrageous. Gem was great to watch. It was super fun. I was rooting for her. I'm sorry to see that she is gone. But I do think that it's going to be an interesting switcheroo coming up maybe in the next episode. So lots to discuss with Sega for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. When we watched the show on Wednesday night, it provided what seemed to be a reasonable rationale for why people turned on Gem. But looking into it more deeply shows it didn't really make sense. When Gem did her interviews on Thursday, she talked about why she believes her allies turned against her, focusing on her telling them about her backstory. But we've seen no evidence that this was the case, and it just doesn't make any sense to me overall. I think from her own viewpoint, she was trying to figure it out since she was blindsided, and also since she said she stands by what she did with the Beware advantage. But I think it all goes back to that advantage, and more specifically, her replanting of it for fun. I understand that being out there for a week and a half without actually going to tribal council may cause some people to get a little bored, but that is not a justification for making a game-related decision that can impact you. Rob mentioned how Gem had said in the preseason that she wanted to play like Tony, the same thing you just brought up. The thing is, not everyone can play like Tony. Only Tony can play like Tony and get away with it. Plus, he had reasons for most of his antics. Gem still believes she pulled off the Beware advantage situation flawlessly. And in strict terms of doing it without people realizing it was her, I can go with that. But that move was like dropping a pebble into a pond. It caused ripples to reverberate through everything. Gem wanted to target Tim, and it looked like that might work. But one of those ripples caused them to need to split the vote. That put Ben in danger. And then the ripple effect got larger because Charlie wanted Ben to stick around. The ripples turned into waves, and all of them came bouncing back and crashing down on Gem. She thought she was just having some fun. But in Survivor, you need to consider all the possible repercussions. And that is why Gem lost.
There we are.
So, all right. Well, before we get to our predictions for next episode, which, you know, should be pretty interesting, I want to mention again that we will be having James Jones from Survivor 43 joining us next week.
Yay! It's about time.
Yes, we've been wanting to get him on for a couple seasons now, but schedules never lined up. He is very in demand. So we are very excited. besides that, I do also want to remind people that the poster and t-shirt and other t-shirt are available at the robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFeed page. And those, of course, go over all the rules that we just talked about.
That's right.
Before we move on to those predictions, where can people, find us we're not here?
I'm in not as many places as David Bloomberg over here. I'm at Jessica Lewis 89 on Twitter, and I'm also at Jessica Lewis 6789 on Instagram. I do live tweet during the episodes, and I'm kind of quiet during the week for the most part. I'm more of a Survivor kind of gal, so you'll see me more regularly on Wednesday nights. However, David Bloomberg, he is an all week, you name it, he's posting about it kind of guy, with his Linktree. I always say it incorrectly.
Linktree.
Linktree. Linktree, where you can find everything David Bloomberg, which is inclusive of TikToks, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. He's out there, and he's probably doing less shows now because some of them have ended.
I know.
But he's still very, very busy. So, David, where can they find you?
Well, the Linktree is Linktree/David Bloomberg with a dot before the EE in the URL there. On the text-based social media like Twitter and Blue Sky, I'm at David Bloomberg. On the video platforms, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, I'm at David Bloomberg TV. And Threads being connected to Instagram means I'm at David Bloomberg TV there too. I've been, like you said, only, you know, like an average of 3 instead of 4 per day videos now. But yes, I'm posting clips on U.S. Survivor, Amazing Race, Deal or No Deal Island, when they have something worth, showing. Like the most recent Deal or No Deal Island was not very exciting in terms of getting clips, I'm afraid. But, you know, it happens. And same with Amazing Race was difficult because it's like nobody really wants to watch clips of them picking coffee beans. I'm sorry.
Maybe that can be your TikTok. Like, isn't this entertaining? They're picking coffee beans.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yes, you can find me at all those different places. Now it is time for predictions. And this is where, you know, I mean, normally it's tough, but this is mergatory, which means lots of people running around, half of them being safe, half of them not. And judging by the preview,
don't remind me.
Yes. Judging by the preview, many players spilling secrets. So lots here's my secrets. My attempt at it.
Okay.
I think you're going to go first. Yes. I think the 5 remaining players on SIGA are going to try to stay together, even though they left Mariah out of the gem vote.
Well, where else is she going to go, right?
Right, right. I think they're going to bring her back in and just say, well, you know, we couldn't tell you because, and whatever.
Right.
I also think the 3 remaining players on Yanu will stick together.
Hmm.
That leaves Nami, who has never had to go to tribal council.
Right.
Now, we know there was discussion of voting out Soda and earlier talk of going after Venus. I'm going to guess, and it is purely a guess because we have to, that Soda ends up being in the safe group, but Venus doesn't. And I say it's purely a guess. The one reason that I'm saying it is because we saw a brief snippet in the preview of Q saying Venus keeps telling all the secrets.
Mm.
And here's what I think. I think he's saying that to Hunter because of his journey alliance with Hunter and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's letting Hunter know, hey, Venus is out there. She's spilling all these secrets. We need to target her. I think Rob did mention this on one of his podcasts. So, sorry, I came to the same conclusion as him, but I think Venus is going to end up as the mergatory boot.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, goodness. I mean, I can understand that because she doesn't come with anyone in her corner.
Right. Right.
So she's going to be in a tough spot. But I got to go with my gut.
Okay.
So my gut is telling me that, and I've mentioned this before, when I thought that there was going to be a swap, that I was worried for Kenzie. And I was worried for Kenzie because we've heard a lot of discussion, and I know we got to see a lot of Yanu because they were losing over and over and over again. But there was a lot of discussion by Q and Tiffany about Kenzie and the concerns and what's going to happen when we get to the merge and she's going to flip. And so I don't think that they are going to necessarily be fighting to keep Kenzie on their side. And I think if they find themselves in a situation where one of them needs to be targeted, I feel like they are going to throw Kenzie under the bus as far as they can because they want to keep themselves safe. And knowing that there was that whole little scene, which I just want to talk about that for 2 seconds, where Q was like, hey, so this is what's going on. He was spilling the beans really quick, right? Like, and I was kind of like, wait a second, didn't he tell Banu not to do that kind of thing? And then he was doing it almost immediately. But that's got to mean something then, right? If they're going to spend time showing that scene, it's got to mean something. And he go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, he explained on Twitter. Actually, I think it was in response to James. He explained on Twitter that he was trying to get ahead of things because he knew Banu had already told them that he and Tiffany were close. He figured if he made an alliance and said he and Tiffany are close, then the people that he was making an alliance with would know that, and it would lock in with what Banu had said, so it would show that he was being honest.
So that's fair. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a good approach. And so I feel like that is going to matter. And the fact that he has said Tiffany is with me, I think that that is going to be how Kenzie gets ousted. And then when they are in need of who's going to go home, Kenzie's going to be the vote.
Okay. I still don't think Tiffany will let Kenzie go that easily. And I think even Q would want to hold on to her as, you know, being, I mean, even when they were on Yanu, yes, get rid of her. But right now, I think that, you know, I think he's going
to
want
to. Yeah, but if it comes
around
down to it, right, and you've got, you know, a set amount of people, and yes, that's the problem with the merge boot, is that anything can cause you to go home. I mean, you need a reason. Mm-hmm. And if someone has given a reason, and there has been so much discussion about Kenzie and what's going to happen come merge. And maybe all of this discussion is happening because she does take over and runs the world and ends up winning because she has such a great social game. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that could be it too. And I'm completely wrong as usual. So just saying, it's okay. I've accepted it.
Yes. Yes. And we, you know, this one is the hardest of all to predict.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, there we have it. And one of us will undoubtedly be right. Gotta have a positive outlook, you know.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP Patron Program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. You get access to all of the special podcasts that are put out there just for patrons, the Facebook groups, Discord, and of course, you support shows like ours and everything on the network. So again, you can become a patron at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Also, make sure you're subscribed to all the reality TV Rehap-Up podcasts by going to robhaswebsite.com/Rehap-Ups feeds and selecting your podcast service of choice. Obviously, you'll get us. I mean, you're already listening to or watching us, so that's good. You'll also find other content like the B&B, Survivor International, podcasts on a number of other shows. I mentioned Survivor International. I think Shannon has, like, I don't know, 48 hours worth of interviews or something at this point. There's a lot of interviews there, and they're going to be amazing deep dives. So
yes,
that's from Australian Survivor. And you know, there's just other shows there too. There's Big Brother Canada, and you can get all of that in the Rehap-Ups feed.
Yes.
So
we would like a good guess.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say stuff that actually I need to wait to say. So go ahead.
Oh, really? Why do you have to wait to say it?
Well, because I say it at the end. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to do my thank yous then, if we can do that. So we'll go to the thank yous and then we'll go back to David. Mm. So thank you to everyone from RHAP who not only allows us this platform and gives us this opportunity, but who does all of the editing. Scott St. Pierre leads the charge on that. Thank you for all of the incredible work that you do. Thank you to Rob for all of the content that you were putting out there into the universe for everyone to enjoy. It is incredible to see how much content is being put out there. I was on there today going through looking for various things relative to this episode, and just the mass amount of information that is there is insane. So thank you so much for everything that you make available to the listeners. And thank you, David, for another incredible opportunity to get to hang out with you and chat with you. And I don't know. It was a nice little change. I feel like this was more, there was more discussion,
yes,
available here. Much more, yes, discussion than we've been able to have thus far. So thank you, Survivor, for providing us that opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jessica, for another great episode. I'm glad I didn't have to use any of these to defend myself.
It's a good thing I'm so far away.
Yes. Yes. You know, as we have mentioned, we will have James Jones join us to discuss the Mergatory boot next week. You can, yes, find me elsewhere before then. And everybody, happy peep season. We'll see ya. Bye.
Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how you played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.